Blog Talk Radio.
Benjamin Phillips is on the line with us. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Dr. Saunders, how are you?
How you doing? How you doing? I tell you,
all is well.
This man has a book, and the book has stirred up a lot of, and they say doolotty in the South.
Oh, no.
You know what? The thing about it is that he was one of the reasons why I was inspired to do my journey, Chronicles of Women, on production, because he went through a lot in his life. But before we get into all of that, I want to talk about this upcoming production movie called Tribute to Kojic Pioneers. And he is working diligently to get this program up and running for the movie production, which we'll talk about a lot of the history of the Church of God in Christ with his grandfather. He is also the grandson of the former presiding bishop and founder, Bishop Charles Harrison Nathan, the founder of the Church of God in Christ. That is his grandson. And we are so blessed to have him with us. Ben, I got the listeners listening, including your brother, Pastor Robert Alexander II. He's on the line and open up the mic.
That's wonderful. Hey, Robert, how are you, Doc?
Hey, brother. How you doing, man? It's so good
all
to hear your
well,
voice.
All is well, man. All is well. Blessed and thankful.
You know what, man? You're raising the kingdom. You're raising the kingdom in Church of God in Christ,
yes,
man. Is somebody gonna say you better stop that?
Well,
you ain't gonna listen to them anyway.
We're doing what's right.
That's right. We're doing what's right. Hey, before you guys get anything, you know, Ben, if it's possible, we may have to talk offline. But I would very much like to do something with myself and my wife to maybe have you address people at church and promote it at our church, since we now have a church home now.
I would love to. That would be wonderful. Because I think this movie is so valuable. I think that it really has not been fully understood and appreciated what this is going to do for future generations and for the posterity for the Church of God in Christ. We are losing so many of our elders and our pioneers on a daily basis. They're passing away. And we really need to capture these testimonies and these stories and these photographs while these people are still alive.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
That's
and
right.
Also, as I was sharing with you on yesterday, I've already confirmed for what you requested, we will do as soon as he gets the backdrop that he needs. But a lot of people do not understand the basis of the Church of God in Christ. It's more than the hand clap and foot stomping. Daddy Mason, about the videos. I remember the records back in the day that I would listen to as a little girl. And my aunt didn't have nothing but holy records in her house. She didn't have no blues or jazz because she was a district missionary. But her life was sold out to God, which led my family to be in Church of God in Christ under Bishop Mason at St. Paul before they broke up to start St. Luke Church of God in Christ. My aunt was also a teacher at the All Saints Industrial back in the day when Arena P. Mallory was the chief education, you know, commission of education there.
Yeah,
I learned so much. The history of the Church of God in Christ, this new generation really is not in touch, and they do need it because it's not the current. If it was not for the current right now that's in position, you had to have a beginning before you have now. So
a lot of people
don't know that we're not Hollywood. We are the Bible. The Church of God in Christ was founded
in the
Word of God, in holiness, sanctification. Your grandfather was ostracized for the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues.
That's right.
From the Baptist Church.
That's right.
Because
it's absolutely true.
There wasn't a book. So when they put the videos together, you know, like they did last year, which was good because a lot of people didn't realize that there was a youth Congress before there was UNAC 5. UNAC 5 carried for so many years. I'm a part UNAC, youth Congress, but I'm a UNAC baby because my husband is the same way. We come from UNAC.
That's right.
And
that's right. We were there when they came through, when they transitioned.
Yeah, when they transitioned. And UNAS5, what they call AIM now, is actually just another part of where we come from. My husband, one of the pastors that gave us a stereo system, and I went to this guy and CD Baby, and then guess what I found? All of the UNAS5 albums are still there.
Oh, wow.
I'm in there at the Caucasian Brothers store, and I'm like, oh, my God, $5, $3, $2. I was like, wow. I ordered me
some UNAS5
albums.
I heard that. You know, what's crazy to me, and understanding where you're coming from with that totally, what really, in part, tempered me to want to make this movie, one, obviously,
yes,
because there are people that I love, such as Bishop George McKinney, who has such
mm-hmm.
a rich history in the church. People don't know Bishop McKinney's father was an elder in the Church of God in Christ and a dedicated
mm-hmm.
man of God. He was a pastor up until his passing. People don't know he actually passed in the pulpit. He preached his sermon, and after he completed his sermon, he leaned over the pulpit and gave up the ghost. You know, those are
wow.
the kind of people who have a rich history in this church, and it is a shame for the contributions that people like his father and so many other pioneers who may not even be known to the general public for their stories
yes.
and their testimonies and their photographs to just die because nobody cared enough to preserve it. You know, there's this guy
no.
that does PBS specials all the time. I watch a lot of his PBS specials because he specializes in doing historical music shows, where he'll bring back talent from the 60s or the 70s and all of that kind of thing. And sometimes he's done a couple of Tim Burns, I think is his name. I think he's done a couple of shows on the blues. And I've grown
mm-hmm.
up in Memphis, Tennessee. I witnessed all of that because I grew up in the era of the W.C. Handys and all of that stuff, all of those. I mean, I used to go down to Beale Street Park at Handy's statue and play as a child. You know, so I grew up around that kind of music. And if it had not been for people working to preserve a lot of that heritage, a lot of that music, those songs that were written by those freed slaves who, you know, their contributions basically would have gone unknown. Lead Belly, who produced or wrote the song Midnight Special and so many songs that the Rolling Stones, Robert Johnson, who did a lot of the songs that the Rolling Stones and Mick Jagger and all of these rock stars have made millions upon millions of dollars on. And those poor men that were children of slaves or freed slaves, descendants of those slaves, got nothing. Robert Johnson, a blues man, died. They buried him in a knapsack in an unmarked grave. He couldn't even afford a casket. They didn't even have money to put him in a casket. Yet the Rolling Stones, I believe, have made close to $15 million off of songs that he wrote. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? So
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
we wouldn't even know those stories had someone not recorded that history. That's the parallel to what I'm trying to do with the Church of God in Christ. There are so many people, so many stories. Arizona Drains, who was one of Bishop Mason's favorite singers, and so many others that we don't even know. Sister Rosetta Thorpe, who was married to a Church of God in Christ preacher. All of these names that may not ring any bells with the young people at all, but these are names
right.
that were major contributors to the early Church of God in Christ and have played a role in history. A lot of people don't know even Chuck Berry had an affiliation with the Church of God in Christ, you know?
Guess what?
So,
can I add this on to you, too? But my former pastor, the late superintendent, the minister assistant superintendent Isaac Grover, who actually came into our church when I was a little girl, after the death of the other founders, he remembered, and I remember him telling this all the time in church, during Bible class, during testimony service, the late Elvis Presley used to come to Mason Temple and sit in the back of Mason Temple.
Absolutely. My mother told me about Elvis Presley and his connection to the Church of God in Christ. And I remember Elvis as a kid. I saw him a few times as an adult, of course, living in Memphis.
Right.
But I remember one time my mother took me to Lansky Brothers to buy a suit for me. And I couldn't have been older than 8, 9 years old at the most. And Elvis was right there outside of Lansky Brothers' suit shop, next to this blind blues man who was playing an aluminum, one of those silver guitars. They're called a resonator guitar. I didn't know what it was then. I just thought it was cool because it was silver metal. The blind man was playing that guitar and had a tin cup. And my mother gave me some change to put in the cup. And Elvis Presley was right next to him with his guitar playing along with this man. So he was definitely a prominent Memphis figure, and he absolutely had attended the Church of God in Christ.
And that's
he was Assemblies of God. Assemblies of God came out of the Church of God in Christ.
They sure did. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. A lot of people didn't really understand that. With the young people, they really don't know. But, you know, my most experience that I have, and I still have that article, is when I interviewed the late Mother Elsie Mason. I stepped into her
room
where Dad Mason used to be, right next door to Mason Temple. And when I sat there and talked with her, I did an interview. My former pastor, really, he was like, "How did you do that?" I said, "I just asked the question because they used to say she was in an old folks home, she was in a nursing home. She was right next door to Mason Temple. When I went in her home, It looked the same way it was when Dad Mason left it."
Yeah.
That was
I just got some very powerful information concerning Mother Mason myself just a few days ago. Someone shared some messages that she had left for me and my mother, and I never knew it, and I wish that I had gotten the messages earlier while she was still living. But I can't go into that right now, but, you know, it was definitely very touching.
And the thing about it is that a lot of the young people, what they do, as most young people that come up through other generations, they don't get the history. You should know where you're coming from. Anytime you're born into something, not just jump on board and go snatch Hollywood in a golden day. It is so important. I remember back in the day when I was growing up, the older mothers would talk about Leah and Renta Herndon, and they talked about Mary and Martha Renfro.
Yeah.
The national evangelist for the church, evangelist Utah Smith, who used to play, you know, Two Wings,
Elder Utah Smith. That's right.
Utah Smith. A lot of people don't remember the late evangelist Elsie Shaw, you know, Emily Brown Bibby. Those were pioneers.
Absolutely, and I grew up around a lot of them. Elder Utah Smith I knew as a child. Mother Bibby attended my father's church there in Memphis. She was there.
Okay.
She was a mainstay there. Sister Elsie Shaw, she loved my mother. She actually used to refer to my mother as "she whom my soul loveth." You know, and I saw her last at Bishop McKinney's church in California.
Mm-hmm.
She was up speaking, giving a message there. And when she saw me sitting in the audience, she literally stopped the message, came out the pulpit, got a bottle of oil, and started anointing me and speaking in tongue over me. She was a powerful woman of God.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
And what blows me away the other need for this movie is that I see how so many of the young people have strayed away from the foundational holiness of the church. They're making the convention a fashion show and a networking activity, as opposed to it being, you know, the 3 days of fasting and prayer to start off the convocation and it being a holy convocation. I've seen so many videos on Facebook that have just totally repulsed me of how people have just totally taken the holiness and the sacredness of the church and thrown it to the side. I just recently posted a video on my Facebook page of a choir director up directing the choir And then he starts doing the running man in the middle of the choir, then lays down on his back and starts directing the choir with his feet.
With his feet.
And I'm like, where is the level of respect? Where is the level of respect for the house of God that you would get lay on your back and try to direct the choir with your feet? And then the people in the audience are not even spiritual enough to see that and be upset by it. And it's I had to ask myself why. And it's the reason why is because if you don't have any markers or roadmaps to tell you what true holiness is about, then it's up to you to conclude it for yourself.
Yes, you have to conclude it, because I remember back in the day when you had the music department, you know, we weren't allowed to perform or wear whatever we want to wear in the national choir. I mean, that was etiquette. That was the core.
That was a standard. Absolutely. Not only the National Choir, we couldn't even get away with going to the movie theater.
hey, guys.
You know,
we can only hope that the brother washed his feet.
That was a record.
I was only hoping he washed his feet. I know this is the way to knock the choir out.
But, you know, it's just sad to me because, you know, this church wasn't based off of showmanship. It wasn't based off of a nice singing choir and somebody getting up and clowning.
Amen.
It wasn't built off of men coming to the Holy Convocation wearing rouge and makeup and eyeliner and women's hats.
No,
you know, it was built off of holiness. And for us to sit down and tolerate that and say that's acceptable, that's a serious flaw. In our spirituality, you know, we're starting to compromise and allow stuff that there is no way on God's green earth Bishop Mason would have tolerated in the church. And he was a very humble, very giving, very compassionate man. But if you think that back when he was living, a man was going to walk up in his church wearing high heels and a hat and sit down and gossip in the back row and he not cast out them devils, you got another thing coming.
You know, speaking of that, I remember the one of the original churches here in Illinois. I recall my aunt and a few of the mothers on the mother's board was talking about when the mother church summoned Dad Mason to come to Chicago because there was the spirit of homosexuality had plagued that church. And Bishop Mason drove all the way from down in Mississippi on the highway to come to that one church to find the devil because it went through that church. And from that time on, you know, Chicago was hit with a lot of, you know, you had the late Lewis Body, you had the late Bishop Lewison before. Bishop Ford's church was right between Clay Evans Church, Fellowship, Cobb, who had all of those over there in that church, and you had Lewis Body, and then you had Great Omega around the corner.
Man, I got stories on all of those. Cobb's, my mother, good stories. My mother, she first got saved at Greater Harvest Baptist Church. You know, under Lewis Body, you know. She was the manager of Lewis Body's, his wife Sylvia Body's music studio.
You know, he told me about it,
And so there's so much history because I have family who is still a part of it. The late Deacon E.F. Cooper is actually my cousin that was founded in 1906 when it was built. And a lot of my family is still there. They're still there. The Davises are still there. The Tates are still there. The Coopers. So, and a few of the Genus family is still there. But a lot of the young people need to know. And that is why it is so important for us to continue our rich heritage of what Dad Mason's vision was given by God for us to be. Because it should be like this, Brother Ben and Pastor, if you all understand where I'm going with this. The world should be coming to us seeking the right answer, seeking the way, not us going to the world and taking the world's attributes and put it on us and call it hope. That's not going to fly.
Right.
That's not going to fly.
That's right.
So the thing
you're
about
100%
it,
right.
We were founded based on the word of God. Now, nobody said you got to go around looking like a monk or a nun, but there is a class that comes with that. And that's the thing that the young people I see, the young people, and I love young people when they're doing ministry, but the young people need to know why they're shouting. What is holiness? What is required of you to be holy? What is required of you to live holy? It's not enough just having all these conventions and church things that's going on with the young people. They dancing and shouting and hooping and hollering, and they don't, they're not saved.
You know, Dr. Sanders,
the reason why
a lot of people in the world don't want to come to the church is because the church, because it has compromised itself, it has nothing to offer
them.
When Bishop Mason founded this church, it had something to offer.
It had something to offer people.
It taught holiness being a way of life and a lifestyle that you had to become separate from the world.
Yes.
And as a result, when we serve God, God blessed us tremendously. You had so many doctors. You had so many lawyers. Even to Martin Luther King, where did he preach his mountaintop sermon from?
Yes.
From
Mason's
Temple.
That's right.
The Church of God in Christ changed the face of African Americans all over the world.
Absolutely.
That's right.
You know, the Emmett Till funeral there in Chicago was Church of God in Christ. When Malcolm X was assassinated, everyone
was
scared to allow them to even have his funeral at their church. It was the Church of God in Christ in New York that allowed Malcolm X to have his funeral.
History.
That's the stuff that needs to be in this movie. Those are the kind of stories and the testimonies of the prayer warriors and the saints and those unsung heroes. That's one of the things that I really want to do. My heart is deeply moved on allowing families out there whose grandparents, grandmother, grandfather, uncle, and aunt, who never got any recognition in the church but worked all their life to help build the church and support the church. I want them to be able to send in photographs of their family members, and we put them in the movie to acknowledge them and recognize the contributions they made to this organization. That's important.
And you know what? I'm looking at I'm doing my research now. The name of that church where Malcolm X's funeral was held was Faith Temple Church of God in Christ in New York, Harlem, the same day of my mother's birthday, February 27, 1965.
Wow.
It's a picture of him laid out and open at the Faith Temple Church of God in Christ in New York, Harlem. And that's the thing, too, because our church has set the tone. That was based upon what God gave your grandfather, the vision. And I continuously say this, Ben, is that nobody founded this church but Bishop Charles Harrison Mason. That's it. Stick with the vision that he had. We have so much and so many people. You know, I grew up knowing a lot of the older state mothers that my aunt literally had friendship with. You know, Mother Clout and Mother McLaughlin. Lord have mercy. Mother McLaughlin was trying to remind you of an old nun.
I heard that.
She was so sweet, but she was quiet. But she had a look about her that you just had to do nothing, just sit there and, like, me be quiet because I don't want her to discipline me. But she just looked like one of those mothers that was very, very mature in holiness. You know, the movement, that is what, you know, like with Daniel's family, they come from a rich heritage from the Church of God in Christ. My family, my husband, we all come from that old school, as they call it. So the movie, young people, would be so good for you to look at, to jump in and talk about your family. You know, everybody want to fight and feud on Facebook, my God. Instead of fighting and feuding, be a part of the movement. Be a part of the movie. You can be able to say, I'm a part of something. A lot of young people, Ben, want to be in fine arts. Well, this is the time for you to be in fine arts.
Absolutely. Ben, I want to tell you something.
Yes, sir.
I want to tell you something. My father was the last man to drive your grandfather in the state of Illinois.
Wow.
When he came here, before he passed.
And that's a blessing in itself.
I want to tell you that.
I consider myself highly blessed that, you know, of my generation, I think I'm probably the last person, for sure, the last child in Memphis, for sure, that Bishop Mason anointed and prayed over before he left for Detroit. He left for Detroit from Memphis, Tennessee, right after my mother had him pray over me just before he left. And after he left, he went up to Detroit, and it was just a matter of weeks, I believe, and he was dead. You know, so
That's right.
There's a great anointing there. He was a powerful man of God. A lot of the young people don't really know how powerful he is, but when they start hearing in this movie the stories of how the sheriff arrested him down there in Mississippi and told them, "Nigga, don't come back down in this city, this state no more, and especially not this county, and if you do, we're going to kill you," you know. And he turned around and came back, and they arrested him with the intentions of lynching him later on that night. And God sent a tornado down there, tore the city, the whole city up, tore the sheriff's house up, killed his wife and his child. And in another instance, there was another one that he pulled his gun out to try and shoot. Bishop Mason shot himself.
Wait a minute.
And in that instance, this guy, they took him on back to his home, and he had him locked up in jail. And this sheriff said, you know, go down there and let that man out of jail and tell him pray for me so I can die in peace.
Oh, well, let me read that part. The sheriff of Lexington, Mississippi, jailed our saintly founding father and imprisoned him as if he was a common criminal. Having no evidence to convict him, the sheriff was forced to release him. However, he was also asked to leave Mississippi. Shortly after his expulsion from Lexington, that lasted for several years, a city most terrified with the visible grave, sent Lexington officials to summon Bishop Mason and ask him to return to the city and lift the curse. Bishop Mason returned to Lexington on his own accord, being led by the Spirit of the Lord. Then and only then did the Lord return to reign to Lexington. Also found in the memoirs of Bishop Mason is another example of his persecutions in a trial in the state of Texas, was in session for the purpose of trying to convict Bishop Mason. Before the trial could begin, the judge who was to preside over the case experienced the sudden death of his own son. When the case was ready to be tried before the same judge, the judge himself died. Bishop Mason left Texas without having to go to trial. These were your grandfather's last words. Let the mystery of Christ rebuke the evil of the mind, the word of God in the will, in the spirit, clothed with his greatness.
There you go. The man walked in power.
He walked in power. None other can come behind him at all. And we are so excited about the project, the movie. We're already on board. And those of you out, Ben, would you give them the information where they can go and view clips from the site, where they can be able to go in and log in?
Absolutely. It's really very simple. It's just KojicPioneers.com.
Amen. And you have a GoFundMe page as well, right?
Yeah, that's connected actually to the KojicPioneers.com website. If they go there, they can click on the partner link, and it will take them to the GoFundMe page. What I've been trying to encourage a lot of people to do, because initially we were going to charge a certain amount for people to have their family photographs included in this motion picture, And I decided I wasn't going to do that. I decided to, because there could, that would eliminate someone who might be out there who has some rich history that could not afford to pay money to get their family's pictures involved in the film. So I decided to not do that, but to just ask everyone who can to make a donation. And so I've been trying to encourage a lot of the people out there through Facebook and, you know, other social media to go to the website and just donate $10, donate $20. We're not asking for a lot, because it won't take a lot if everyone comes together to support this.
Amen, amen, amen. My heart is just jumping all the way out when you first mentioned it, and I thank you, Ben. I know your schedule is very, very tight and busy, but you all, please go on to the website, and you can find us also on Kojic Truth and History, and you will see more and more videos, pictures, and footage of a lot of history in the Church of God in Christ. Ben, I thank you so much for taking the time to be with us on our program today, and we're going to be doing this all the way up until that movie gets ready to be released. Now, understand, everybody, this is a time that you want to be able to be a part of the history. You know, it's one thing to say, you know, your name is on the brick, but this is something that our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren on down the line can be able to say my parents or grandparents or great-grandparents were a part of the founding trail along with Dad Nathan, that he trusted, people that he brought under him and he taught so well. And I'm just praying that they will continue to do what we need to do to get this program off the ground. Is there anything else you need to say, Benjamin, before we go?
Yes, absolutely. While we're here, I definitely would like to take a moment to thank Bishop George McKinney and Bishop Brandon Porter for making videos to support this project and to ask people and encourage people to participate and be a part of this film. And also to Bishop Blake. I actually just got another correspondence out to Bishop Blake today. So I'm really ecstatic that our leadership is embracing this. And I just want to encourage everyone to go to KojicPioneers.com, see what's going on there, email your photographs, any video clips you may have that you want to include, and make a donation to help us support us in making this film, because it is going to be a first-rate motion picture. This is not going to be some cheap barnyard video. I've produced 7 movies in my past, you know, one of them being Cat Williams, the comedian Cat Williams, his first movie. So I know what I'm doing in this area, and this is going to be a quality production all the way, but we need the support of the saints.
Amen. Well, we're in 1,000,000%. And as we close out this segment, I do have the prayer and the voice of our beloved founder, Charles Harrison Nathan, praying under the unction of the Holy Ghost. Thank you all for tuning in. You all be blessed.
God has laid upon Jesus Christ to give himself his own life, change conditions in your bodies and minds and spirits. We thank God for the fellowship of the Spirit tonight that gives us in him to think on others. And to pray the mighty God to help and give unto you all that you may be delivered from that tormentor. God bless you. Jesus gave to the ministers and said, go ye, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs, they said, shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Not in devils, cast the devils out. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall pick up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it shall not hurt them. God rebuke death here tonight, and rebuke death there in you. Cast the devil out of your mind. Let your little ones look to God. This is a time that we need Jesus. We need the word of his wonder. We need the wisdom of the blood. We need the coming of the coming. Jesus, the Savior. Satan, the Lord, resist you. Death, the Lord, resist you. An enemy, the Lord, resist you. A liar, the Lord, resist you. A shame, the Lord, resist you. The blood, the blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. God's anointing, giving it unto all. We thank God for his presence in the room and for his wonders. He gives the reign of his will tonight. Woman, Jesus heal you. Jesus will do death. God give you tonight. Woman, Jesus heal you. Your sins, the Lord forgives. He cast it out and pay your evil. God will do death. The word of his presence tonight, heal the sick. The word of his wisdom, cast down the enemy of our souls. We are blessed to come and glad we are here. Yes, Lord. 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 We thank God for his slow and very old appetite of all us. Because of Ishka, Ishkania, and the Ushkalova, my Savior's anointing, the word of his kindness and greatness of his name, makes ways for us tonight. May we rejoice to know that we have fellowship with him. And in the spirit of Jesus Christ tonight, we contend for the faith. We rebuke death. We bind the devil's chair. With the word of God's wonder, the day of evil be cast out of the mind. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thy mercy be shown tonight. Hey, blessed be God. Hallelujah. 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 Wonderful Savior. All you sick people that are here in the room, lift your hands up. Let your will go up. Some of your amen. Lift that. You there in the hospital. You yonder in your home today. That are sick and afflicted. Lift up your hands. Where is my God that's still so alive? Help me. Deliver my soul. Get the devil out of my mind. You can't. I beseech me as my Savior. Get the devil out of my mind. Please be everybody. Please be. Don't let us go.
Supplication, invitation,
thanksgiving being made for all men. So